I'd like to call the September 17th council meeting to order. Would the clerk please read roll?
Mr. Amrine?
Here.
Ms. Selka?
Here.
Mr. Plather?
Here.
Mr. DeLeo?
Here.
Mr. Hook?
Here.
Ms. Rosenberg?
Here.
Ms. Schaefer Bish?
Here.
Mr. Sidoti?
Here.
Mr. Turner?
Here.
Opening remarks and pledge of allegiance, Mr. DeLeo.
I'm going to defer to Mr. Clapper.
Clapper?
I thought it'd be fitting today that it's Constitution Day and Citizenship Day in the U.S. to read two quotes about the Constitution. The first is by Richard Beeman, who was a professor of history emeritus at the University of Pennsylvania and one of the original people behind the founding of the National Constitution Center. He stated, "Our Constitution is neither self-actuating nor self-correcting document. It requires constant attention and devotion of all citizens. There's a story often told that upon exiting the Constitutional Convention, Benjamin Franklin was approached by a group of citizens asking what sort of government the delegates had created. His answer was, 'A republic, if you can keep it.' The brevity of that response should not cause us to undervalue its essential meaning. Democratic republics are not merely founded upon the consent of the people, they are absolutely dependent upon the active and informed involvement of the people for their continued good health." And there was no proclamation by our current president, as there has been in the past for Constitution Day, but I thought I'd read a quote of his regarding the Constitution anyhow. When asked if he believes that as president, he is responsible to uphold the Constitution, he responded with laser-like focus and a prose to rival Melville, "I don't know."
Stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Hey, public comment?
We have two residents wishing to speak tonight. Melanie Neff will speak first.
Melanie, before you speak, I have to read something. While the law does not require council to provide time for public comment, we have historically invited the public to make comments and we appreciate their input. This is the time where residents and others can comment on matters that concern them. However, we will not engage in debate. And as president pro tem of council, I reserve the right to end any public communication that is disruptive, embarrassing, harassing, or otherwise objectionable. We ask that you give your name and address and limit your comments to 3 minutes. Thank you.
First of all, my name is Melanie Neff. I live at 615 Hudson Road here in Kent, and I can never remember what ward that is. Does anyone know offhand? My council at large? Ward one. Thank you very much for opening. That's a wonderful statement for today. I want to say how happy I am to live in the city of Kent. I have had to deal with multiple departments since I purchased my house. I grew up in Copley, but then worked in New York City, retired, came back to Kent. And I have had to deal with a number of departments, the planning. I've been to Overholt Road, you know, when I couldn't even figure out how to get there. I know you're not in charge of the post office, but even the people there, everybody has been uniformly really, really good. It is. And so you're to be congratulated. That's number one. The second thing is the first time I approached the city, it was about the zoning and it was about housing because I'm a retiree. And I came back to Kent and I just lucked into my house. It's one floor living. It's a two-story frame house on, you know, Carthage, it used to be called. It's a very small home. I got a little picket fence. It's like a workable garden. It's 960 square feet, including the basement. I love my house. It's a rarity in Kent. It's a rarity. So when the building started being erected on Franklin across from the Venice, I was really interested. Oh my God, it's going to be more rentals. It's going to be like luxury rentals. So I contacted the city right away and I said, hey, look, before I want to talk to the builder, I want to talk to these people, and I want to try to convince them to talk to the Chervenics or, you know, the people that I know that's in realty who could sell this to people who want to buy in Kent, who want to live like me in Kent, who are retired, want to downsize, want to own. And it's just a website. I couldn't go to it. This was like 3.5 years ago or something. It's just like this LLC was like a blank page. There was no phone number. There's no contact. So I tried to run into the people. Anyway, I had an accident, put me out of commission for a year or so. But I learned about the proposed Gray Fox development on Franklin. That's why I'm here. I think it's great that the city is considering like remediating that site. I realize there's all kinds of things that are way out of my wheelhouse, and I don't know what you're facing with that. But I am a firm believer there's not enough ownership, low-income home ownership. I love Kent State, but we can't rely on rentals. And they put more cars in the system. I have worked with small communities in developing big monster condos wanted to come into this beautiful Hudson Highlands community I lived in, and they wanted to put in these big home developments. And right, I could go into it, but I found out through Vermont, through different states, there are ways to do this. We've got Habitat for Humanity here in Kent. In Portage Lakes, they help people buy homes by sweat equity. They need the land. So if there's any way to work with a developer to turn that land into remediation and help people buy homes who need home, the working poor and small homeowners like me, you know, people who want to live and walk, not bring more cars, infrastructure, and, you know, real estate taxes that, you know, they put cars in, there's no egress for one thing. I mean, there's just a host of things. So I want the city council to please remember that there are people here, there's like resources here in Kent that maybe think outside the box a bit. And I'm, you know, more than happy to volunteer. I have a history of volunteerism and history with like trying to work with developers and with community. So that the people who live in the historic South End are served, the people who want to live in Kent but can't afford it, the people who want to help people like Habitat for Humanity and even Hometown Bank. I mean, they're just wonderful, the things that entity does. I'm just here as a private citizen, but I just wanted to put that forward for your consideration because, first of all, that plan was too big. It's more rentals. It's high end. It's just, you know. So if we could find somebody, including Gray Fox Development, if they're willing to donate the land and make a smaller profit so that the land could be donated to Habitat for Humanity, I think they could run with it and it could serve the community. It could serve as an example for the rest of the country. And that's what I had to say.
Thank you so much.
Next up is Doug Fuller.
Hello. By the way, seats are really comfortable. The new video works very well. I watched the meeting from a couple of weeks ago when you had the hearing on the new development, and man, the pictures were clear. The voices were clear. I thank you very much for that. It's a great way to communicate with the public so we can catch up and we all can't be here. So anyway, that's not what I'm here about.
Doug, for the record, could you give your address?
Oh, I'm sorry. My name is Doug Fuller. I live at 1431 River Edge Drive, Kent. I've been an architect in Kent for over 45 plus years, now retired. Quick points I want to make. That 2 weeks ago, you had a community meeting here where you heard from community members about their thoughts and concerns, some in support and some with their own ideas of what should happen to the old railroad property. And it was great to watch, even on TV, to see citizenship. I'm here begging you to do the same thing for the Architectural Review Board. We have been at it now for at least 3.5 years, maybe well more than that. And you have never had the public come before you and have a give and take with you, or even just make presentations to you. And you might ask questions of them. We've never been asked to come and say, we have asked to come, but we haven't been given time to come. And I just don't understand this. It's a democracy, it's a republic if you keep it. And by keeping the citizens away, you're not keeping it a republic. You can find the only name you like. Mr. Clapper, a couple of weeks ago, made a motion that the ARB be dissolved. His main point was it was redundant to have an ARB since they now have new guidelines. Well, if that standard is used, we can get rid of the Planning Commission because they have a zoning code to go by. And if people just follow that, you don't need a board to look at it. You can get rid of the Zoning Board of Appeals because obviously people would follow it. You can get rid of many, many of the committees we have because there are guidelines. There are directions of what people should do. If Mr. Clapper's theory is right, all of those can be done away with because there's no need for them. There's rules that are being read by. So I'm asking you to invite the public to come here. And in specifically, I know a number of people that have served a long time on the Architectural Review Board and have never had the opportunity to come and speak to you when the project has got to this level as it is. You had a meeting with them before it really started, but you haven't heard from them. You know, they've put in tons of volunteer hours. And we, people that have been on the board, would like to show you what we did with projects. We want to show you what came into the city as a project and what the Architectural Review Board said, no, that doesn't fit our guidelines that we had in those days. We have new ones now. And show you what improvements would be. And these were not improvements that would be made by someone that has nothing, no knowledge of architecture, because they wouldn't even know what questions to ask, let alone what to do. So I'm asking you to preserve the republic and let the public come in and talk to you about this. And it will take a little bit of time to do that. There's a lot of things to present to you. There's a lot of ideas that we have that I think will please you, actually. So anyway, I'm done. Thanks a lot.
Written communication.
On August 27, 2025, a draft resolution was received from Rick Coxley regarding the deployment of Ohio National Guard troops to Washington, D.C. and other cities. The draft was shared with council. On August 29, 2025, a letter was received from Jake Shields, Director of Acquisitions with Gray Fox Capital, regarding the development of the property on the old Davy Drill site. The letter was sent to council as well as other community members. On September 2nd, 2025, the August minutes and September agenda for the Standing Rock Cemetery Board were received and posted online. On September 8th, 2025, another letter was received from Jake Shields with Gray Fox Capital, following up with discussion at the September 3rd, 2025 council meeting and expressing commitment to the project. The letter was sent to council as well as other community members. On September 9, 2025, Mr. Sidoti shared a proposal from the Kent Rotary Club to initiate and manage a parade of flags program to foster community pride and patriotism while raising funds for local projects. The program would be a subscription-based service managed by volunteers with flags displayed on 5 major national holidays. The Rotary Club requests permission to operate the program within the city limits, ensuring it adheres to the local ordinances and safety standards. On September 11, 2025, the revised agenda for the September Board of Zoning Appeals meeting was received and posted in the foyer of City Hall. On September 11, 2025, the September agenda for the Parks and Recreation Board meeting was received and posted in the foyer of City Hall. On September 11, 2025, the clerk's office received notice that the Planning Commission would not be meeting on September 16th due to a lack of agenda items.
Okay. I'll move items 1 through 9 on the city manager's report. Do I have a second?
Second.
For the visitors, the next item on our agenda is the consent agenda, and these items are listed under the consent agenda are considered routine. Each item will be read individually into the record, and consent agenda will be enacted as a whole by one motion and one roll call. There will be no separate discussions of these items. If discussion by council is desired on any item on the consent agenda, that item will be removed from the consent agenda by council motion and considered in its normal sequence under the regular order of business.
Mr. Amrine?
Yes.
Point of order. Do we need to make a vote on the motion for moving the items on the city manager's report?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Sorry.
He's catching on.
This is my training session here. So. I'm not doing it. Okay. So roll call, please. For the consent agenda, we need a roll call for consent agenda.
No, after.
No, we do.
Oh, afterwards.
She reads them first.
Oh, okay.
And then you do suspension and then approval.
Okay.
Yes. So the consent agenda includes approval of August regular council meeting minutes, approval of September council committee meeting minutes, draft 2025-084, an ordinance authorizing the finance director upon the issuance of a certificate of availability of funds to pay certain purchase orders made that exceed $3,000 and declaring an emergency. Draft 2025-85, an ordinance authorizing an appeal to grant a variance to zoning code section 1106.20, public art, specifically section 1106.20A3C, allow for a mural to be displayed on the front facade of the building that abuts south of Peister Street and declaring an emergency. Draft 2025-86, an ordinance accepting a donation of three parcels of land totaling 36.548 acres from Stream and Wetlands Foundation, located south of Fairchild Avenue and west of Majors Lane along Fish Creek, and declaring an emergency. Draft 2025-87, an ordinance amending the downtown Kent Dora to expand the boundaries to include three new businesses, the Blind Squirrel Pub, River Merchant, and Bottles 101, and declaring an emergency. Draft 2025-88, an ordinance amending ordinance number 2024-131, the current appropriation ordinance, passed December 18th, 2024. So as to adjust appropriations, transfers, and advances from the various funds of the City of Kent to individual accounts for the current expenses of the city for the fiscal year ending December 31st, 2025, and declaring an emergency. Draft 2025-89, an ordinance authorizing the water tap-in for Petros Development Group for the property located at 2567 State Route 43 outside the City of Kent, and declaring an emergency. Draft 2025-90, an ordinance authorizing the city manager or his designee to approve the consent legislation, the State of Ohio Department of Transportation Project PORSRO 261-03.51 PID 105237 for resurfacing a portion of State Route 261 that is located within city limits and declaring an emergency. Draft 2025-91, a resolution declaring the official intent and reasonable expectation of the City of Kent on behalf of the State of Ohio, the borrower, to reimburse its 301 capital fund for the CG48AC, CG49AC Sunrise Boulevard rehabilitation with the proceeds of tax-exempt debt of the State of Ohio and declaring an emergency. Draft 2025-92, an ordinance renewing and amending the Kent Franklin Joint Economic Development District income tax agreement to allow for the option to transition the collection of income taxes for the JED to the Regional Income Tax Agency, RITA, and declaring an emergency. Draft 2025-93, a resolution accepting a donation of framed artwork from Cass McKay Walker to the City of Kent in recognition of her appreciation for the city and declaring an emergency.
Move suspension.
Second.
Sorry, who moved?
Okay. All those in favor?
No.
No.
Roll call.
Roll call.
Roll call. I'm sorry.
Okay. Ms. Selka?
Yes.
Mr. Clapper?
Yes.
Mr. DeLeon?
Yes.
Mr. Hook?
Yes.
Ms. Rosenberg?
Yes.
Ms. Schaefer-Bish?
Yes.
Mr. Sidoti?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mr. Amrine?
Yes.
Move adoption.
Second.
Roll call.
Mr. Clapper?
Yes.
Mr. De Leon?
Yes.
Mr. Hook?
Yes.
Ms. Rosenberg?
Yes.
Ms. Schaefer Bish?
Yes.
Mr. Sedoti?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mr. Amrine?
Yes.
Ms. Selka?
Yes.
Consent agenda passes.
Finance Committee. Motion to authorize insertion of council members' names and votes in draft 2025-94.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, would the clerk read draft 2025-094 in title only?
Draft 2025-94, a resolution accepting the amounts and rates as determined by the Budget Commission and authorizing the necessary tax levies and certifying them to the county auditor.
Move suspension.
Second.
Roll call.
Mr. De Leon?
Yes.
Mr. Hook?
Yes.
Ms. Rosenberg?
Yes.
Ms. Schaefer Bish?
Yes.
Mr. Sedoti?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yeah.
Mr. Amrine?
Yes.
Ms. Selka?
Yes.
Mr. Clapper?
Yes. Move adoption.
Second.
Mr. De Leon?
Yes.
Mr. Hook?
Yes.
Ms. Rosenberg?
Yes.
Ms. Schaefer Bish?
Yes.
Mr. Sedoti?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mr. Amrine?
Yes.
Ms. Selka?
Yes.
Mr. Clapper?
Yes.
Draft 2025-94 passes.
Okay, there's nothing under health and safety, nothing under land use, nothing under streets, sidewalks, and utilities. Is there any unfinished business? Mr. Sedoti?
Yes, I wonder, wait for a vote here.
Excuse me.
I'm serious. If you recall, about 3 or 4 months ago, we had a conversation with the city council about the dog ordinance, the barking ordinance, and that the situation that had occurred. And I was wondering, have we gotten any samples of Jayden from other communities about how they handle them yet?
I looked at, and was that the one where the lady came in and complained?
Yeah, because every time someone calls the police, they have to issue a ticket.
Yes, or something like that. I don't know if Nick remembers this, but honestly, I looked at those reports and I wasn't convinced that there's a problem with our code.
Okay.
I don't know if you remember this.
I apologize for, because I forgot about it. and then I realized I had to talk to you about it.
So I did, before I got the police reports, I did look at a few codes. Ours is very similar to a lot of local codes around here. And then when I got the reports and looked at them, I probably should have reached out to you and told you what my findings were.
I was just curious because we did have that conversation.
Yes.
So, thank you.
You're welcome.
Anybody else? Oh, Melissa?
Yes. We had set aside about 5 months ago a discussion looking for a time when the world was a little bit calmer to think about the flock security. I would like to make a motion to remove the 6 month or the October deadline so that we have allow ourselves a little more time to come to the decision on flock security.
I'll second.
Discussion.
Else?
Yeah. What are we waiting? I mean, what additional evidence? This determination, what I have gathered to the door. I would push to actually vote unless the votes aren't there. In that case, I wouldn't. But I think we should have been able to gather by now the information we need to make a determination. This is. Our concern emanates from Washington, D.C., not Kent, Ohio, not other surrounding communities. It's basically our fear about how this technology could be used that might create an issue for the people who live in this community. And I don't think that's changed. And I think we're kicking the can down the road on it. We should probably make a determination about it. The chief has come to us and said, he thinks it will be a benefit to the resident. I support that because I trust the leadership of the city in dealing with it. I don't think they're going to jeopardize the overall well-being of our residents. So I, you know, it's just me throwing that out. Like, where are we going to move it next? What evidence are we going to try to establish to make a determination at what point in time? So that this is my concern. I think in the interim, the issue of safety for residents here is being diminished based on what I think safety leadership has indicated. I think that they can safeguard us. So I'm a little concerned about it.
Yes. So there's new information, new lawsuits that have been levied against Flock Security and the use of Flock Security cameras in helping with ICE raids, in tracking women who are going across borders, state borders to get an abortion. And just in the last week, there's new information, new lawsuits that are being filed. Large cities that have had Flock for several years have now decided to not work with them anymore. So there is still new information. This has nothing to do, at least from my perspective, with my trusted chief or the team. My issue is that this is a private company with funding from very strange and unusual organizations involved in security at a broad national level. So yes, the cameras are run by chief, but they're tied into a national network that's under the control of some not completely clear individuals who are invested in this project. It is not just about what our city can do, it's about who is behind Flock. And the lawsuits and the concerns of really big cities like Denver that have decided to no longer work with them.
Anybody else?
This motion is just to suspend or just to extend the time period before we had a discussion about it.
Yes, otherwise
we would have to do. So once this motion, if this motion passes, somebody could just make a motion to have a vote on the issue tonight if they wanted to.
Yeah, and it would go on our pending list like all our other pending list items. So in combination with council and staff and clerk, we can kind of get a better lay of the land when is the better timing. So it wouldn't go away.
Okay.
Stays on the pending list.
If it was, so I'm talking about if Melissa's issue, if Melissa's motion passes, it doesn't go away. If then another motion is made after that to make a vote on whether to or not get to the Flock cameras, then that could or could not make it go away.
Say the question again.
Okay, so if Melissa's motion passes, we're extending that period of time where we're going to talk about, where you're eliminating that window to talk about Flock cameras. Another motion can be made after that, then at that point, to put the Flock camera issue to a vote tonight. We've already had a public discussion about it. We're in that time frame from the discussion about it. So could a motion be made tonight to have a vote on the issue itself?
The vote couldn't be tonight because it's not on the agenda.
Okay.
But yes, someone could say, put it on the October agenda. So I guess that's the question. Do you want it on the October agenda?
Do we need to have another public hearing for it?
It needs to be on the agenda. So yes.
Okay. I didn't know if it could go as new business or not.
Well, it's old business.
Unfinished business, I guess.
Or unfinished, yes.
Okay.
Chris?
Yeah, I'm inclined to suggest we just proceed with the 6-month window if we want to get the soonest vote on it as possible. It sounds like that would take place in October anyway. My sense would be to vote against the motion and just proceed as we have, which is to say, we will take this on the 1st of October up for a public hearing and then move into the vote. So yeah, my sense would be to vote against the motion while fully supporting the notion that we need to deal with this.
I'm fine extending the window for discussion, but I would oppose making votes on whether or not things appear, specific items appear on next month agenda. I think that's going to come up to work. So I don't think that's how we normally, I don't think that's how we normally put together our agendas and allow time for discussion. I think that this is something worthy of discussion, and I don't want to limit, any discussion because there's a news report I have never heard of. Like, I'm not willing to end discussion on a topic because of a news report or to rush something to agenda when we don't even know what else is on there. So I'm fine continuing it, and then we can put it on there when we're ready for like an actual discussion, and then we can go from there. So I'm yes on this. Presumably no on something else.
Sorry, Robin.
Yeah, my concern still is at the end of the day on this, what are the metrics we're applying? And about the company, so we're kind of now dealing with a moving target. We pushed it out 6 months. If there's going to be a discussion, we're going to establish metrics as to, these are problems we can address. A lot of these things are out of our venue. But, I think, again, like I said, I trust the judgment of our police force. Now, I understand the issue of the company and our inability to control what they're doing. And if we get the safeguards and everything from our safety leadership, and they indicate we think we can deal with those, I think we have to make a determination sooner rather than later, because the issue again is coming from Washington, D.C. And that's not changing for another almost 3 1/4 years. We're always going to have questions and problems with what we believe Block could be. That other lawsuits are out there and other people are trying to hit it. God bless them, and I hope they're able to identify something that safeguards their community.
Point of order. We're getting a little bit away from the topic of the vote for the motion. I appreciate what you're saying, Robin. I totally agree with you. But the motion is for whether to continue this item or have to extend the timeline on the item and then have the discussion. I think we're getting a little bit more into the discussion than the motion requires.
Which actually would be more appropriate when we have the discussion.
Right.
Right. So, Roger?
I just want to clarify in point of order also. I thought that we opted to suspend the discussion in committee and push it 6 months out. It would be coming back to the October committee, would not be going back on for a vote. The vote would be in the committee whether to then move it forward in the October meeting for a for legislation one way or the other. Is that how we understood it?
Yes.
If I think we're mixing some things here when we start talking about not putting it on the agenda for the agenda will be a committee meeting. So
correct.
I just want to make sure we clarify what we're voting on. What we're voting on is, or the motion that's on the floor currently, is that we're going to vote on to whether put it in committee in October for further discussion or in April 2026 committee meeting, which would be 6 months after that. Is that what you're saying, Melissa, 6 more months?
I didn't specify a time.
Oh, okay. So you didn't put a time frame on that.
I didn't.
That's why I said it would go on the pending list remain there until either council or the staff is like, now is the right time, better time, whatever that answer is. I don't know.
Was it scheduled?
Okay, let's, Heidi.
I'm just going to say that I'm going to abstain And it's not because I don't have an opinion on this. It's just that I'm not going to be here at the committee meeting next month. So I, on the one hand, I would really like to have the discussion and get it done with. On the other hand, it's fine. I'm okay with waiting as well to have a discussion. So I will vote to abstain from that discussion or from that vote.
Okay.
Jack.
Chris.
Melissa's motion has not been seconded yet.
Oh,
Jeff, did you?
Yeah, I did just want to make the comment. We've had now 5-6 months to be discussing this, whether informally or formally. We've had, as Melissa says, we have seen reports of new developments, certainly, and has not been brought to this group to continue discussing. My concern is this goes on the pending list. It's going to sit there, and people are going to wonder. My feeling is to vote no on this and just get it done next month at the regular course of things. I see no reason that the people of Kent should continue to wonder if we're going to move ahead on this. We've had lots of time to consider. The evidence is there for those. As Robin is saying, I don't think the facts are going to change. I don't think Block is going to get a new owner anytime soon. We're not going to get a new president anytime soon. These are some of the issues that have been brought up, during the initial discussion. So my sense is, again, to vote no and just let's do it next month.
Kathy, could you reread the motion, please, before we vote?
You want me to just reread it?
Yeah, just
the motion was to just remove the October deadline from the discussion of Flock Camera. That was all the motion was.
Okay.
But just to be clear, if we vote no, the item stays on the agenda for next month.
That's right.
When
in committee.
Are we prepared for any kind of a presentation on it, or is there time needed? I don't know if the chief wanted to put something together or.
I think it was stated pretty well, and I think we even said this at that last meeting. This is almost a philosophical discussion more than it is the logistics. So The chief has presented the logistics. Those haven't changed. He can certainly answer questions again. We will not plan on having Flock in the meeting. I didn't think that was productive last time. It's really going to be on the people around the table. As has been stated, the administration and the tactics that are being deployed are evident, and so it's up to council to decide how they feel about Flock, and that's a hard situation. That's why, and to some extent, we were thinking that waiting for a better time might help. But I completely understand where you're coming from if you're ready to make a decision. The only thing I would say is a couple of you have made comments to us about not having such thick agendas and trying to do a better job of managing, anticipating how long items are going to take to talk about, because we've had a couple long committee nights lately. So we've trying to balance. This is one that could be 10, 20 minutes, or it could be 2 hours like it was last time. So I guess I would just encourage you to be, we have Democracy Day starting that night. We have more budgetary items that we're going to have to talk about. I think Parks and Rec is going to come for that night. There's other items on our agenda that I'm just trying. It's from a practical point of view. I don't want to overdo the demands on you. So think about.
That was my question, was whether we were prepared for like a fully flushed out discussion or not on the agenda. It seems it's so by voting. Yes, we can put it in the agenda. Put it in an agenda where we've got more time. And by voting no, it's going to be in October, no matter what.
But yes, and I need to be clear though. We're not. There isn't more research to be done other than, like has been noted. Hey, there's couple of new court cases. There's a couple of new examples of cities. We're happy to report on those, but the technology is what it was when we presented it the last time. That doesn't seem, I don't think anybody that voted against it, so to speak, was against the technology, and it was how it was used, potentially could be used. That has not changed. So I don't know how much more we can offer in that regard.
Okay, let's vote. All those in favor of Melissa's proposal?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
Aye.
Abstain.
Gosh, I think we're gonna need a count.
Yeah.
Yeah. All those in favor, raise your hand.
Three.
All opposed?
One abstention.
Okay.
All right.
New business. Yep.
Well, to piggyback on what Dave was just saying, I would like to make a motion to move the start time of committee meetings up an hour.
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock.
Anybody have any feelings about that?
Well, is there a second?
Is Doug, so, yes.
Well, I'll second it because I'm not going to be here for that. But I know there's other people do have problems.
I know.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll second that.
Just opening the discussion. I just needed a second, so I can open the discussion.
Okay, and Mike seconded it. Okay, so Jeff, do you have more to say?
Well, my thought is, and like Dave said, we've had some really long committee meetings. And I'm sympathetic to people's schedules to get here on time. And I'm also sympathetic to our staff that spends really long days here. When these committee meetings start at 7 and go till 10 or occasionally midnight. But my bigger concern is, and this really popped out of me at the end of the last committee meeting, is we spent a couple hours on one topic, and then it's just a fly through to go through the rest of the agenda. And are people getting their due time? And are we shortchanging topics and shortchanging people that come to participate in the process? And that's my biggest fear, is are we shortchanging people in the democratic process by blitzing through the end of these meetings at 9:55 at night?
Okay, we'll start with Heidi.
Yeah, let's put aside the fact that that would be very difficult for me to get here by 6 o'clock when I have to commute. And just say that for many, many years, we have been meeting at 7 for committee meetings and 7:30 for council meetings. And we decided to put everything at 7 o'clock to benefit the public more than anything else, so that people would know that this is when council meets. And I think that I think it's been confusing sometimes when we start early and have, this is important to put on the beginning. As long as it's something that the public would not be, everything is something the public would be interested in. But I really would like to stick to the times, because that is when the public anticipates that to be here. Could I get here at 6:30? Yeah, maybe. It would be a whirlwind. 6 o'clock would be challenging, but who else would we be shutting out that couldn't get here, that would want to be here from the public?
Okay. Chris?
Yeah. I just want to say, I worry about people getting off of work at 5:30 or 6 and they can't make it in time. I think having 7 o'clock for folks who are getting off at that time gives them a bit of an hour to get here. So I do worry it would stifle the ability of some folks to get here, especially when we do the public, the remarks early. And yeah, I think Heidi's right. I think there's a consistency factor where we might be confused on when we're meeting. I appreciate the spirit of the question, though. So yeah, thanks for bringing it up.
Melissa?
Yeah, I think, for not just the people on council who have full-time jobs, but for the public as well, the consistency of 7 o'clock. I think there's other things that we can do, and I think that we're already trying to apply some of those principles to make committee meetings not go so long. Perhaps there's some other things that we could do about how we address certain issues and how the council, the committee meetings are actually managed effectively, so that everybody has a voice, people can come and have their say, but we can move certain issues along. Because you're right, at the last meeting, it wasn't fair. Our staff were sitting around for 3 hours, and some really amazing things were just kind of rushed through at the end, and we should have been celebrating them. So I appreciate the, the sentiment, but and what it's trying to accomplish. But I think there's probably some other ways that we can address managing the meeting or thinking about our agenda items. That's one of the reasons why taking the October off of Flock Camera, the idea is to give us a little more wiggle room on a month when we have a lot of content and hopefully a lot of members of the community come, so that we don't rush through something that's important. So that's my thought. I would prefer it stays at 7.
Roger?
Yeah, I have the same kind of feeling about maybe what we need is a little more strategic placement of some of those items that I think we would all agree that the public would like to hear our conversations about, which are going to take a lot longer. And we look at those things that are celebratory, you know, because you're right, Melissa, that sometimes they just get lost in the shuffle. So maybe we need to think about the items. We're smart enough to know what items are going to take time and take discussion. Because I think that's what the people want in the community. They want to hear what we're all thinking. Not necessarily, they don't want to hear us just say, nope, this is what we're going to do. They want to hear rationale. And sometimes that takes time in the community, let alone the people coming to the microphone to speak and get their 3 minutes worth. So yeah, I think sticking, and again, I'm not going to be here. I might be on a microphone someday as a guest, but I just think that that's one of the components of a good democracy, is that people elect representatives, and representatives need to have conversation amongst themselves that the community can hear, so they understand the rationale for some of the decisions that we make. But sometimes I don't think they understand that we do think about these things night and day, more often than we even want to concede. But so yeah, I think I'd leave it at 7 and then do a little more strategic planning on the agendas.
Anybody else? You know, I was thinking too that we have possibly 3 new council people coming on. This probably would have been a better discussion in January when we set up new guidelines for council meetings. But yeah, let's vote on Jeff's. Oh, Robin, I'm sorry, did you have your hand up?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's mic it. All those in favor? Opposed?
Aye.
Yes. Okay. Any other? Yeah, Heidi?
Yeah. To say that there was some time ago, and I'm going to have to do my research a little bit better. I had a conversation with the chief today regarding the noise policy. I've had multiple complaints about loud music, live music, that goes late at night near the edge neighborhoods, near where the residential housing comes together with the downtown area. And one of my concerns in talking to the chief is that we apparently have permitted that music go till midnight on the weekends without really any kind of enforcement, other than the police saying, oh, please, would you please maybe consider the residents around and turn it down? So I would like to put back into committee, and it doesn't have to be next month, but soon, a discussion on live music policy for downtown. This seems to be an issue with live music. It can also be an issue with bars that have their doors open. So it might be music. But I would like to talk about some kind of recourse. Maybe it could be, you know, some kind of live music permit or license or whatever. Just some kind of way that we can put a little bit more leverage into the decision to work with the residents and give the police some avenues for enforcement. and not just having kind of an everything goes kind of policy. So that's my interest. It's on the pending list. Noise policy is sort of eternally on the pending list because it's always being refined. So I would just like to have a discussion at some point in the next few months that could maybe generate some new ideas. That's my motion.
Since it's already on the pending list, do we need to vote on that or just make note that we need to bring that up in a future committee meeting? So we'll just make sure that it goes out.
So that was my, it was my council member comments.
I think it's right before, maybe in 2022, 2023, wasn't there an ordinance passed that specified the times for downtown and the level of enforcement of what could be?
Yes.
So do you want to change that
ordinance? Yes, possibly. Okay. I say that we were going to meet to watch it and see what happens. And, you know, it is frustrating for people. And it may be also be frustrating for the police. So I think it'd be worthy of having a discussion, maybe just kind of putting on our thinking caps some ideas as to how to tweak the policy, because we certainly want the lively entertainment district, but we also want to make sure that residents aren't being driven out of their minds and out of the city in this kind of clash of lifestyles. That happens in every neighborhood in Kent, but it happens. Perhaps I think it's easier to enforce a noise policy in the residential neighborhoods than it is, you know, on the fringe of the residential neighborhoods where there's added desires. So I would just really like to have that discussion again when we have the opportunity to have some new ideas as to tweaks. And I do know that they may be some people coming to want to talk to council about their experiences. So just put it back on the agenda.
So since it's on the pending list, can we just say that we'll revisit it? Okay.
Thank you.
Robin?
Yeah, my issue goes to the parking. I'm sorry. My issue deals with parking enforcement and what I've seen to be chronic abuse, where people have calculated I can chronically abuse this, I'll pay whatever the money is, as opposed to our ability to enforce for the overall general safety and well-being of our the people of the community. Why are we applying the law? And how can we apply it so that it dissuades people from chronically abusing people right now? Because we're not able really, I guess, right now, the chief had pointed out to me, we kind of had limitations on towing, which is a way that I think we are able to deal with some of it that will dissuade people. But by and large, some people are just saying, well, if they're parking, you know, in some of the neighborhoods and everything, they'll want to go to school, they'll take the ticket. But the issue is we're not getting compliance with the laws on the books, which is not to have somebody do something. How do we create a mechanism whereby, like we apply a nuisance abatement, something like a chronic abuse of parking enforcement? How do we get that? And I would suggest we sit down with the chief and the parking enforcement officers so that we understand exactly what they're able to do, how they're able to do it, so we can come up with a more efficient way of being able to introduce compliance on the level that we don't have people continuing to violate parking in the city.
So Robin, are you asking council to?
I'm asking that to go to the
committee for parking enforcement and compliance.
Yes. Okay. For at least discussion, having, parking code enforcement officer, chief.
Comments, Gwen?
I just have a question about, are you speaking residential or are you speaking downtown parking that you're seeing?
I'm talking about chronic. I'm talking about if people are calculating that should apply to everybody. If we have got a law in the books that people chronically abuse, because they're calculating, I would rather go on and do, we should have an escalating clause that we can introduce that makes it less likely they'll be able to do that.
So you're talking more about neighborhood issues than downtown?
I'm talking about the parking code. I mean, I don't know if it's an issue downtown. I'm talking about neighborhoods, but I'm talking about the overall. I don't know that you can introduce a situation where you stratify.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because there are increasing penalties the more tickets you get.
No,
I thought to Tom.
Actually, for some people there are issues where if you don't pay on time, there are. But if you go down and pay the ticket once you get it, there isn't. But then the person goes back and does the same thing because he says, it's worth more to me to park it and I'll pay the fine. And then, but I'm not going to, I won't comply because it's more convenient. Pardon me? Well, yeah, that's why I'm bringing it up, to go to committee, because I'm saying there ought to be a way that you can escalate, just like you do with a nuisance abatement. People get to a point where they are abusing something. These people are doing it and they're calculating. This is what I choose to do because it's easier for me to pay the fine and my convenience. Just put it in committee. If everybody's satisfied with it and they feel that that's not an abuse that's happening to them that merits this, then hey, but I'm just saying I'm bringing it up because I notice it in my neighborhood, especially after this thing with when we park the no more than three people on a street coming out, the people still do it because they can get away with it. How do we do better enforcement or escalate it so that they're compliant? The issue for me is compliance.
Okay, let's vote parking enforcement and compliance.
Was there a second?
Was there a second too? I'm sorry. Was that even a motion?
Yeah.
That was a motion. Do we have a second?
Go into committee. Yeah.
Do we have a second to the motion?
I'll second that.
Okay. All right.
What's the motion, please? And
that we discuss parking, escalation, enforcement, and compliance in a committee meeting. Yes. Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Aye.
Okay, so two opposed, passed. All right. Any other further council comments? Yes.
It's been raised that we've got some new council members coming up in a few months, maybe a new mayor. And I know we've talked a few times about some kind of strategic planning exercise while perhaps following part of a full strategic planning exercise, but something where we and the new council members have a chance to sort of weigh in and discuss a little bit about those strategic documents. I'd like to do that. I think looking back on my first month, two, 3 months here, it would have been nice to be a little bit more assimilated into that strategic vision and to have a chance to really shape it, perhaps, since really it feels like it hasn't been updated in quite some time. It feels evergreen in the sense that what I've read just seems fine. But I do think it would be just with a new makeup of council, it would be a nice chance for us to get a refresh and perhaps propose some new components. So my motion would be to, well, first, I'm not going to make a motion. What I'm going to say is, is this something that, Dave, you could come back to us with suggestions on for how we might, as a new council, approach this, and then maybe make a motion if we need to down the road? Yeah, we can talk afterwards.
Audio, yes, I'm nodding my head. So okay. Yes, we're fine with that. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Anybody else? Robin?
Along those lines, there used to be, when we came on council, a period that we would go to the university for training.
Doesn't exist.
And we had an opportunity for new people to understand exactly how they fit in to the process. I thought that was very beneficial. I don't know why they stopped it, to be honest with you, but I thought that it probably put a lot of us at ease trying to understand how we would flow in and what would be acceptable behavior or knowledge or function. So I would look back at that again to see if we could set aside money for training and or work to assimilate that way.
I know Kent State does not offer that anymore because the professor retired. I think he died, yes. I didn't want to say that, but yeah, he died. Heidi, myself, Tracy, and Robin went to that training. It was very valuable. I was talking to Kathy earlier that we were going to continue that with what you had, the orientation, and that we can also extend that. If you want to sit there and talk to me, I'd be glad. Kathy and I would be glad to incorporate anything that you think might be necessary. Melissa.
Also, I went to the 2-day Ohio Municipal Coalition orientation for new city employee or elected officials. And it was a really valuable experience, and the city paid for it. It was part of my education. And I thought it was great, and I'm on their mailing list, and I've gone to other meetings. The Federal Reserve also does some things around zoning and planning and strategic that is available as well. So we could add that into the discussion.
Those people, Chris, Melissa, did you find, and Jeff, did you find the orientation helpful?
Very helpful.
So maybe we do a combination of both, or at least offer them. Yeah.
Well, yeah. And I guess what I'm urging us to do is the strategic visioning, which is, it's different,
right?
I think there's a lot of education we can do on our own in terms of Robert's rules and how the committee structures work. And that's separate to me from having a chance to actually weigh in on the content of some of these documents that have been around for a long time. They're serving great purpose, but just giving those new folks a chance, and then some of us who haven't had the chance. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Good. Any other comments? There is no mayor's report, so we're adjourned. Well, I did some goofies, but I did.